But number six on your paper says the church is a living temple in 2 Corinthians 6:16. We're going to start out with verse 1 and just read some of these. And I want to try to go through these with you because I think this is really great stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "We then, as workers together with him..." Man, I like that already. The very first statement, I like that already. I mean, we are workers together, but we're workers together with Christ. You got to understand something. I love my preacher, but I'm working with Christ. I'm thankful for a great church. I'm thankful for a place that we can work together. What better verse to start out with during your vacation Bible school than we working together and going to work together, not just with each other, which is fantastic, but we're working together with Christ. Man, what a great thought. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Now, I like this next thing, and you need to hear this. I really like this. A lot of times I have heard people tell me that they get saved and that's good enough. I'm thankful that they're saved. Don't misread me. I'm thankful that they make that profession of faith. I'm thankful that they say, "Glory to God, I'm a saved person." But I just have a real hard time with a person being saved and then not doing anything with the glory that's been giving them. I have a real hard time with that. Well, this is Sunday school class. Well, I'm a preacher. I don't teach much. I'm going to tell you that right now. "You receive not the grace of God in vain." You ought to come more often. I should give him money to be here. I like that, young man. "That you receive not the grace of God in vain." Now look at this verse 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted." He heard you. "And in the day of salvation I succored thee." I heard you. I took care of you. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Get to work, brother. I took care of you. You heard about me. You prayed to me, you lost soul. You prayed to me, you no good. You prayed to me, you weren't worth much. You prayed to me, but I still loved you enough to save your rotten carcass. Now let's get some work done. The reason that we do so well here at Bethel Baptist Church is because we had 100 people working during vacation Bible school. Not because we had one person doing all the jobs. We had everybody doing one job. That's why things went well. I had I didn't have anybody. Diane Robinson did everything. She's a taskmaster. Give her a whip, she'll tear you up. And what's great is she had everybody doing something. I didn't have to do every job. You didn't have to do every job. We weren't running around like chickens with our heads cut off. We knew exactly where we were laying eggs yesterday. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, it looked great to me to see that happening. And the Lord is saying, look, and let me tell you something. You need to think about this with me. If you're saved in here today, don't you owe something? And hey, I'm not a preacher. I'm not paid. I'm not on staff here. Listen. Why should I have to work for God? This Bible's telling me Jesus died for you.
Yes.
He rose again for you.
Yeah. That's right.
He heard you.
Yes.
He succored you. You owe him. Well, what do I have to offer? Not much. Look at yourself. But what you have is all he wants. Well, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to do my nails. I can't come to church. I can't come to vacation Bible school. I might break my nails or something. Understand this. God's not interested in your nails. He's interested in your service. And I'm going to tell you right now, the reason that our vacation Bible school is successful and you're not dead dog tired today is because everybody pitches in.
Amen.
If you didn't pitch in, giving no offense in anything. Now look at this. Behold, now, by the way, we'll get to living temple, verse 16, in probably next month. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. I want you to look at this for a minute. And there's a lot of things that we'll go over here in just a couple seconds. But you need to see this. He said in verse 2, "For he saith, I heard thee, I succored thee," and now it's time for you to get to work. And look at this. "Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed." I love the kind of preaching where it's okay to sin. All right? It happens that way sometimes. Sometimes things come into your life. I understand that teaching, but let me give you something else. If preacher were to fail you, and you need to hear this. If preacher were to fail you, you'd beat feet to the door because you can't wait to crucify the pastor.
Yeah, come on, listen.
If Brother Dave fails you in some way, which happens probably every 10 minutes, I guarantee you can't wait to beat feet to your best friend and tell that best friend all about how Brother Dave failed you. But it's not just preacher and Brother Dave that have to live up to a different standard. It's you too, Jack. If you're a Christian, if you're a saved person in here today, you've got a different life that you've got to live. Because if you don't live that life, understand this, it hurts the ministry.
Yes.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? People can't wait to find a hypocrite in church. Matter of fact, that's the one key word that most people won't come to church because you're a hypocrite. And let me tell you something, we got a whole room full of them. I know that. Every church has hypocrites. I'm telling you right now, every single person in here, one time or another, has been hypocritical in something.
Yes, sir.
Okay? But get this now. If you live a life here that does not match the life you live out there, you're hurting your ministry. Every one of us in one way or another is given a ministry. Every one of us. Not one person is exempt. If you got saved and the Lord called you to Him and the Lord secured you in that day of salvation, if the Lord took care of you, you owe Him something. And if you don't pay back, it hurts the ministry.
You say,
I'm not important enough. Nobody even knows I go to church. That's a shame. I'll never forget my friend Barry Jones. He says, hey, Dave, would you like to go to church with me? And this is back when I had hair down in the middle of my back, earring in my ear. I was tough. I said, well, he said, are you saved? I said, yes. Man, you wouldn't know it. Let me explain something to you. We live in a day and age where everyone outside of this building can't wait to see everyone inside of this building fail. Because they want to make sure that you do not live up to what the Lord says you're supposed to live up to. And we for too long have said, you know what? Holiness isn't that important to me. Living right isn't that important to me. I'm going to come in here, be in church, smile at everybody, grab my cup of coffee and go home. But understand this, God's got you held to a higher standard when He called your sorry self to get saved. And the Bible says right here, giving no offense in anything, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Glory to God, you're a drunkard, Mark Thompson. Because you're a drunkard, the whole church goes down. How in the world can they have a drunkard as a song leader?
That's right.
You don't think that would happen?
Yeah.
Catch him outside with a beer can in his hand. I promise you, it would be in the tabloids.
Yeah.
Why should you be any different?
Yeah.
Well, Brother Dave, you've never tried to hold me to any standard before. Brother Dave's not holding you to anything.
That's right. Come on.
Jesus Christ bled to hold you to something.
Right. Yeah.
He was held to the cross to hold you to a promise.
Yeah. Right.
And when you got saved, I realize you're still a sinner. Don't think you get out of being a sinner. You're still a sinner.
Yeah.
But shouldn't we at least make an attempt to live better?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we at least make an attempt to say, Lord? And here's what's amazing. I love these telepreachers that say that they can't wait to meet the Lord someday, so they can hug His neck. I'm going to tell you right now, when you meet the Lord, you're going to be so scared because you lived your life as a dirty scoundrel down here, and you're going to go up there into glories of heaven for free, and the Lord's going to look down at you and say, who are you again? I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ is somebody that's not going to be mocked. He is God just as much as He was man, and we owe Him something. Now let's look on to what this says. Boy, this is mean. Right after vacation Bible school, you're being mean to me. But the ministry be not blamed. Listen to this. Now, I love this. But in all things, how many things? Man, see, when the Bible says all, see, you used to be in school, beware of the alls and the nevers, like in math, because, boy, that never seemed to work out. Always and nevers. Don't ever go with those. But in the Bible, it says all things. It means all. Doesn't mean half. Doesn't mean 90%. It means all. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. It does not just say preachers here. It says everybody. Do you even have a ministry? Do you even think about yourself? Do you have anything at all that you do for Christ? Man, it's quiet in here.
Amen.
Approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And I want you to look at these. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 ins. 10 things in that you have to approve yourself in. Look at these things. As the minister of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Now look at these first few things. These first few things, they're general terms of things you will be in if you have a ministry. Well, how in the world, Brother Dave, that didn't sound like very much fun. I didn't say the ministry was fun, but it's worth it. Here's the thing. What's going to happen? In much patience. How many of us have patience? Let me tell you, don't ever pray for patience because God will give it to you. And the only thing that you get patience by is going through things. Man, Lord, I don't need no patience. Speed this whole world up. I'm going to tell you right now, we have to have patience when the things get thrown at us. There's going to be things in this world, and it's getting worse and worse and worse all the time. Do you think Brother Wade is excited about going to his baby's surgery tomorrow?
No.
That's something he's got to go through, man. That's no fun watching your babies get hurt, watching your babies go through things. That's terrible.
Right.
But he's got to have patience, understanding that Jesus might be putting him through this to make him stronger so he can help somebody else someday. See, what's amazing is we take a vacation from what we're supposed to do from God, and it hurts people. It hurts them because, understand, these people are going to go through something someday, and you'll meet them. And because you didn't stop and go through it, you didn't have the patience to muddle through, you decided to take a break, you're not going to be able to help them. People of this world need you. The world don't like to admit that they need Christians. They need you. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you live your life right, and if you decide to, I'm going to help God as much as I can. Well, the Lord doesn't need my help. You've preached that before. No, he doesn't need your help. But it sure would be nice.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll pull off VBS without you. But it sure does help when you're there.
Amen.
In patience. In afflictions. How many of you have ever been afflicted for the Lord? If you've never been afflicted, maybe you're not doing anything.
Right.
In necessities. I don't have everything that is required to live today. The Lord just hasn't provided for me. You are so sorry.
That's right.
You know what's funny? If the Lord would shut off your electric, you would literally die.
Yeah.
I talked about that with several. What would happen if the Lord would shut our lights off?
Yeah.
We wouldn't know where to go. The batteries in your flashlight are dead.
Every
time you go for them, tell me I'm wrong. When a storm comes, your lights go out, the batteries are dead. Every single time. We don't keep up with the batteries. And candles? The last candle you had was decorative. If you had your lights go out, if you can't flip the switch, and matter of fact, what's funny is, when you try the switch and the lights are out, you try it more than once. It was out the first time. You don't have to keep flicking. It's not magic. What would happen if we had to go through things where our actual necessities were all we had taken care of?
Right.
Where a little food and the clothes on your back were all that you had. That's all that God said he was going to give you. Would you be able to make it through those type of necessities?
Yeah. Good.
In distresses. We live in a country today where I think distressing is big. Stress is the number one cause of everything. Okay? And we're going to go through a lot of that. But have you gone through it as a Christian? Do you stress out over people going to hell? Do you stress out over the ministry being accomplished? Do you stress out that our building's not out there yet? Have you stressed out enough to make moves that you can help the building come? Even in prayer. Have you stressed out over things of God? Have you stressed out over giving money? Oh, at least just like his dad. Always talking about money.
Amen.
Hey, Baptist preacher's got to talk about something.
That's right.
See, what's sad is America's got all the money, just nobody wants to give it to God.
That's right.
In distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments. These are things, first of all, the first things I read to you are things that are general terms, things that you may go through. You really don't have any control over it. In the next one, in stripes, in imprisonments, you have a choice here. Is the question, would you go to jail for God? Would you go to jail? Think about this for a minute. I ain't going to jail for God. I'll do a lot of things, but if you come in here and said, you're going to jail unless you stop preaching, I promise you with all my heart, this is one decision I know that I will never have to think about.
Right.
I would preach him as he walk up the aisle and take me. I'm preaching to you the whole way.
Amen.
I promise you I would go to jail for God. No doubt about it. What's funny is, would you go to jail? Would you be willing to say, you know what, and we don't have that yet, but it could be coming to the point of where you got to make a decision in your life as an adult. Are you willing to serve God no matter what? Are you willing to say, I don't care what everybody says, I'm starting to get offended at the other people that get offended with what we say. See, we got people out there, well, I'm offended when you say Jesus. I'm offended that you said I'm offended in Jesus. When are we going to be offended once? When are we going to be upset once? When are we going to serve God to the point where it matters to us? I know the Bible says turn the other cheek, but sometimes what do we do 360? Boom. Hey, I turned it all the way around, and I hit you with it on the way through. What's amazing is Jesus Christ is what this nation needs, and Jesus Christ is what is not being talked about. Would you be willing? In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings. That's insomnia. Do you literally not, can you sleep? Do you sleep at night? I want you to think with me for a minute. In your head, you know, and I know, people that are going to hell right now. You know them. You can see them in your head. I want you to pick somebody. And I want you to think about them diving off of that eternal diving board into the lake of fire. Think about the sound that that would make. Think about the words they'd say to you on the way down. I'm talking about people you know. I'm not talking about people you knock on doors. But knocking on doors is highly important. But it's amazing that it's easier to knock on a door than it is to tell your friend.
Yeah.
For 10 years, I waited to tell my best friend, Brian Lee, about the Lord. I waited all that time. He was diving into the eternal lake of fire while I waited because I was a chicken. And what's funny is when I finally told him, Brother Carey, he looked at me and said, why would I be mad about that? I don't know. Why would he be mad about you wanting me to go to heaven? Why would I be mad about you not wanting me to go to hell? After a while, that kicked me right in the hind end. I said, I don't know why. And what's amazing is this. We've got people that are going every single day. I wonder if we're watching for them. I wonder if we're watching in our heads thinking, man, I don't know if I can sleep tonight unless that person at least hears about Christ. They may not accept him, but did they at least hear about him? I mean, I wonder if we're going to stand in eternity someday in those bleachers as we're watching all this happen. I wonder if we're going to stand there and have that person point you out and say, hey, Coolidge, why didn't you tell me about Christ? Hey, maybe he wouldn't have accepted him, but at least he would have known. And if you don't do that, what's it do to the ministry? It hurts the ministry. Your failures hurt the ministry. Your failures hurt the ministry. Failures aren't good for you. They're not, those are things that you need to go through. Failures aren't good. Failures aren't something that God wants for your life. He wants you to look at these things that I'm reading to you right now in afflictions and necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonments, tumults, in labors and watchings and fastings. When is the last time that you fasted for that loved one to be saved? When is the last time you fasted for anything? I'm going to tell you, fasting's important. The Bible talks about certain things can't be cast out unless there's fasting and prayer. When's the last time you added fasting to your prayer? Boy, fasting's important to America because we never fast. We got food everywhere. If you gave up food for a day, the Lord would be like, wow. Man, there's an American that's not eating. I mean, to me, a Baptist American that's not eating. That's even unbelievable. If we would decide, you know what, I'm going to fast. But here's the thing. When you fast, and I want you to hear this, and we're almost done. There's a certain way that you ought to fast. And the Bible tells you that when you fast, you ought not be a cheerleader for yourself. Hear me now. A lot of folks can't wait to tell you, I fasted for a week. And they make their faces look drawn in. The Bible speaks specifically of not making yourself look that way. Matter of fact, if you're fasting, nobody should know. Between you and God, man. That's between you and God. It's amazing how many things are between you and God. Your tithe is between you and God. It's not between me and God, a preacher and God. We don't care if you tithe or not. That's not up to us. But it's up to God. It's up to God whether you fast or not. It's up to God whether you do things for Him. And you should need to realize that you need to make a relationship with God, because you're not here to impress the pastor. You're not here to impress Brother Kerry Fowler. You're not here to impress Mark Thompson. You're not here to impress Mike Sells, Mike Porter, Eddie Wills. You're not here to impress any of those people. You're not here to impress Brother Wayne. I don't care who you are. You're not here to impress them. You're here because you want a relationship with God. And when is the next time you're going to fast and pray and suffer stripes and suffer tumults and suffer all those things for the Lord that saved your sorry self? Then we look in the by and bys. There's 11 of them. There was 10 ins, now there's bys. And these are things you can control. Look at this. By pureness. When's the last time your heart was pure? You didn't have an ulterior motive for something you did. When's the last time that you used your knowledge of this? By knowledge. I'm talking about knowledge of the scriptures now. A lot of us are smart, but how many of us are so smart that we know the scriptures a little bit? By knowledge, by long suffering. That's for each other sometimes, by the way. Long suffering, in other words, you give somebody that's a Christian the benefit of a couple of hundred doubts before you throw them under the bus and persecute them. By kindness, it would be nice to have a little now and then. By the Holy Ghost. This is good preaching. If I just read this to you, this is good stuff. I can't add to this. This is amazing to me what the Lord is asking you here. Does the Holy Ghost even come into your mind?
Yeah, right.
The Holy Ghost is with you all the time. He takes up residence right inside your heart. Where do you take Him anyhow?
Yeah.
Amen. By the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Unfeigned means counterfeit. In other words, you don't want to have counterfeit love for somebody. How many of you have tried to please somebody that you really don't care about? How many people don't care about you, yet try to make you happy? Do you know the greatest challenge of a Christian is to love their enemies? In my opinion, the greatest challenge to a Christian is to love people who do not love them back. And I'm not talking about fake love. I'm talking about real love. Do you care enough to pray for that person and fast for that person? Do you care enough to try to help the ministry? Because I'm going to tell you, strife inside a church does not help the ministry.
Amen.
By love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. Understand this. The world's not going to look at you as the church looks at you. And the world might think of you as dishonorable. The world might think of you as a deceiver because you're telling people about Christ and not Allah or not the Catholic religion or any of the other ones, because you're a deceiver. Understand this. We've got a job to do, and I'll close up because there's 800 kids waiting outside. We'll get back into this. You've got a job to do as a Christian. I think you ought to do that job. And I think you ought to do it with everything you've got.
Right.
And I think if we started doing that here at Bethel Baptist Church, our walls couldn't contain the work that we would get accomplished here.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to stand here today. Lord, please be with these people in an amazing way today. Lord, let them see how wonderful it is to love each other, not feigned love, but unfeigned love. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity again to have a great VBS. This is a great church, Lord. Everybody pitched in every way, and everything was done just so smoothly. Lord, let us have a great picnic this afternoon. And Lord, let these kids know that we love them with all our hearts, and we cannot wait for them to become a great part of this church someday, but more than that, a great part of your army. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
That much. I'm not one of the old-fashioned preachers. I can wait.